From Our Mysterious Spaceship Moon by Don Wilson. Chapter 1. The Mysteries of the Moon Over the Centuries. Our mysterious moon, that strange alien world in our sky, has hung over our heads for as long as man can remember. And in all that vast time, it's remained a tantalizing, unsolved puzzle, the single greatest mystery to haunt mankind. It's strange how this orb has befuddled the best minds of Earth. We've been studying this weird world since we began to think, groping at her first with our eyes and then with our telescopes. Next came the feeble probes of radio and radar. Then the space age dawned, and we began to search her out with the eyes of cameras borne up on spaceships. Despite the thousands of close-up photographs, scientists could not determine the moon's true makeup or where the moon came from. They still were unsure about her origin and nature. Finally, even when man himself came to probe her surface, the moon beneath his feet remained a mystery, an unexplainable enigma. In fact, the more scientists study and learn about her, the greater a mystery she seems to become. They still can't explain the myriads of strange happenings that have been observed over the centuries on her surface, nor are they able to understand the strange encounters our astronauts have had with an alien presence on and around the moon. And scientists themselves are continuing to uncover bewildering and baffling scientific facts that indicate the moon is not what it seems, but a world that may not be entirely natural. When the Soviet Union and the United States were racing for the moon, it looked at the outset as though the Soviets would win. In fact, back in the late 1950s, when the Russians were launching men into outer space and we could barely orbit grapefruit-sized satellites, a news reporter interviewing one of America's leading space experts, Dr. Wernher von Braun, and he asked him what he thought of the American scientists would find when they got to the moon. Well, the German-born rocket expert, father of the V-2, answered, in one word, Russians. But other people thought they would find something else. All throughout the 50s and 60s, people were reporting the sightings of strange objects in the sky. At first dubbed flying saucers and later termed unidentified flying objects, they convinced some observers that they were spaceships bearing alien visitors to our planet. Indeed, not a few UFO writers thought these objects were using the moon as a base of operations. For strange things were being sighted on the surface of the moon. Even the most objective scientists had to admit there were unexplainable happenings taking place on and around our neighboring world. Yet most astronomers of our time considered the moon to be a completely dead planet, without an atmosphere to sustain life, where nothing ever changed, even over spans of thousands or, for that matter, millions of years. Yet changes were taking place on the moon. The discovery was first made on the night of July 29, 1953, by John J. O'Neill, science editor of the New York Herald Tribune. At first, O'Neill refused to believe his eyes. It had to be an optical illusion. He had studied this area of the moon with his telescope before and noticed nothing. And he knew it had been observed hundreds and even thousands of times before by many professional astronomers without a single mention of a strange structure such as he had seen. But there it was, and a careful, repeated rechecking by O'Neill showed this peculiar bridge still there, stretching across 12 miles of the moon's Mare Crisium area. O'Neill communicated his discovery in his report to the Association of Lunar and Planetary Observers, calling it a gigantic natural bridge. But as many scientific observers, and even O'Neill himself knew, the sudden appearance of the structure threw serious doubt on the question of whether it was in fact natural. As was to be expected, O'Neill was soon attacked by some skeptical astronomers who doubted that he had actually seen a structure on the moon. Then the man who had many considered the number one lunar expert of our time, the British astronomer H.P. Wilkins, confirmed that he too had seen this gigantic bridge. He described it as one of the most amazing, mysterious, and artificially looking features on the moon. In the months to follow, other astronomers like Patrick Moore, one of the leading members of the British Astronomical Association, reported that he too saw this bridge-like structure spanning the mountain barriers and the lunar plains called Mare Crisium, or the Sea of Crisis. Some astronomers who sighted the awesome structure even claimed that they could see sunlight streaming under it. Astronomers like Wilkins and Moore, although they had serious reservations about the mysterious bridge, claimed that they viewed it as a natural formation. Nevertheless, Wilkins admitted his puzzlement. for he too had scanned this area with excellent telescopes, and as he admitted in his own words, "I had never even suspected such a thing." Is it possible that these highly competent astronomers were mistaken? That was a charge flung at them by some people, even by some of their professional colleagues. But astronomer Wilkins defended the sightings and the reports of other strange appearances on the moon witnessed by experienced observers, people who have been observing the moon too long to be easily deceived or dismissed. As Wilkins implied, this was not the only strange discovery on the surface of the supposedly uninhabited world. On March 30, 1950, he himself had spotted through a 15-inch reflector a weird glow on the Aristarchus Herodotus region of the moon. This oval-shaped and strangely brilliant light appeared like some type of glowing machine hovering near the crater floor. He also reported that on the morning of August 12, 1944, he saw a very bright round spot of light near the center of the crater Plato. Nor were these isolated sightings. Other strange lights were seen by many competent observers. On September 16, 1953, Rudolf M. Lippert, a member of the lunar section of the British Astronomical Association, reported seeing a peculiar bright flash, a mysterious light that glowed a yellowish orange. Lippert thought that it might be only a meteor hitting the surface of the moon. At the Lowell Observatory in Arizona on October 30, 1963, another astronomer, John Greenacre, spotted a glowing red light on the surface of Luna. Its light, according to Greenacre, was so intense that it was like looking into a large gem ruby. Over the past centuries, literally hundreds of similar strange lights and other weird happenings have been observed on this purportedly dead world and been reported. One reliable estimate places the number of such sightings by competent observers in the last 200 years at over 800. A recent survey of the literature and journals of astronomers uncovered about 400 reports of such strange lunar happenings over a period longer than 400 years. This careful study was undertaken by two prominent astronomers, Patrick A. Moore of the Armagh Planetarium in Northern Ireland and Barbara M. Middlehurst of the Lunar and Planetary Laboratory, University of Arizona. The researchers claim nearly all of the early observers are known to have been scientists of integrity. They excluded questionable reports in their Science magazine article. What about the possibility of errors or mistakes in observation? Moore and Middlehurst believe strongly that their careful checking of the details make it probable that the number of errors is not high. We do not believe that inclusion of a few possibly incorrect reports substantially influences our findings. The authors also map the sites of these strange lunar sightings and discover they fall into three major categories. Sites around the outskirts of the Maria, that's the dark lunar plains, the ray craters and ring planes, both of which have dark or partially dark floors. As we've noted before, Patrick Moore was one of the many astronomers who observed the strange bridge in that Sea of Crisis area. He also admits another strange sighting in which he observed what he describes as a color phenomenon, reddish glows in the crater Cassendi on April 30th through May 1st, 1966. The light was also confirmed by P. Satori and confirmed by T. Mosley and other observers, notes Moore. While it's true that many of these observations have been reluctantly attributed by astronomers to volcanic eruptions or to gases fluorescing in the sunlight, most lunar scientists remain puzzled. The vast majority were convinced that the moon was a completely dead world and hardly volcanically active. Nor could the lights be explained away as meteors striking and flashing against the hard surface areas of the moon. For the Moore Middlehurst study indicated the sightings lasted an average of about 20 minutes. Undoubtedly, a few could be accounted for in this way, but hardly all, or even a fair portion, could be written off with this flimsy explanation. An examination of astronomy records of the past few centuries reveals that many such strange happenings on or around the moon are astoundingly puzzling. Look at the record, and you judge for yourself. Sir John Herschel, one of England's greatest astronomers and the man considered by many to be the father of modern astronomy, reported that he had seen strange bright lights in 1783 when the moon was darkened by an eclipse. On August 18, 1787, he claimed he saw spots glowing like slowly burning charcoal, thinly covered with ashes. Herschel saw similar lights and glows on the moon on 7 occasions, and he reported that some seemed to him to be moving above the moon. In 1 month, November of 1821, Herschel saw such strange lights 3 times in succession. But long before Herschel, mysterious lights on the moon were reported. Even as early as March 1587, an English scientist reported seeing a bright spot on the moon, directly between the points of her horns, one being changed, posing 5 or 6 days before. This same early observer wrote in the monthly notices of the Royal Astronomical Society that he had seen with his 10-inch telescope 2 luminous spots, one on either side of a small ridge of a yellow flame color, while all the rest, the enlightened part, was a snowy white. I observed it for 5 hours. The German astronomer J. H. Schroeder, who spent almost his entire life mapping the moon, on September 26, 1788, saw a bright whitish light, just like a star, suddenly shining among the peaks of the lunar Alps near the crater Plato. The light continued to shine for 15 minutes and then disappeared. It clearly could not have been a meteor. Consider these other early observations of lights detected on Luna. November 1668. A letter from Colonial Minister Cotton Mather to a Mr. Waller of the Royal Society dated, quote, at Boston, November 24th, 1712, refers to ye star below ye body of ye moon and within the horns of it, seen in New England in the month of November, 1668. This letter is now in the Library of Massachusetts Historical Society in Boston. 1783. In Philosophical Transactions, Volume 76 for 1787, the great astronomer Herschel reports, a bright spot seen in the dark of the moon, which seen in the telescope resembled a star of the fourth magnitude as it appears to the natural eye. 1794. In the same Philosophical Transactions, Volumes 26 and 27, in 7 separate letters are reported, quote, lights in the dark portion of the moon. The main sighting was reported by the Astronomer Royal, Reverend Neville Maskelyne. Another letter written to the Royal Society by a Mr. Wilkins reports a similar sighting. Mr. Wilkins writes, I was, as it were, riveted to the spot where I stood during that time it continued, and I took every method I could to convince myself that it was not an error of sight, including the testimony of one who passed and said it was a star. In his third letter he adds, I am sure of this spot appearing within the circumference of the moon's circle. Another witness, a Mr. Stratton, declared that it was like a light star, as large as a star, but not so bright, in the dark part of the moon, mind you. 1847. A British Association report claims that luminous points or lights on the moon were witnessed during an eclipse. 1867. The Astronomical Register reported that Thomas Elger claimed that he saw a light suddenly about 7:30 p.m. on April 9, 1867. At 9:30 p.m. it ended. Elger testified, I have seen lights on the moon before, but never so clear as this. Similarly, in the late 19th century, the Cape Town Observatory reported seeing white lights along with smaller lights on the dark of the moon. Remember, the volcanic eruption is the most common explanation of lights and glows seen on the moon. In 1958, when the Russian astronomer Nikolai Kozarev at the Crimean Astrophysical Observatory reported that he saw a bright cloud on or near the central peak of Alphonsus, it was passed off as volcanic activity by some, while Kozarev himself attributed it to fluorescent gases issuing from the crater's central peak. On the night of November 3, 1958, Kozarev photographed the spectrum of a reddish patch near there. The reddish light seemed to move and disappeared after an hour. It, too, was passed off as another volcanic event, which was strange because most scientists were still convinced the moon was a dead, cold world, certainly not hot enough to produce volcanic activity. Even among hot mooners who believed Luna was volcanically active, very few thought that volcanic eruptions were still transpiring on the moon. Nonetheless, the volcanic and fluorescing gas explanations became the easy out for most scientists. Admittedly, all these reports could be passed off as glows of lava or volcanic gases fluorescing in the sunlight. But what about lights that are described as moving? We have already seen that Sir John Herschel claimed many of the lights he saw in his long career seemed to him to be moving above the moon. Perhaps the weirdest and most unexplainable sighting was the sudden splurge of mystery lights that were seen starting in 1869. They were reported to have appeared in such regular patterns and so frequently that the Royal Astronomical Society of Great Britain held a 3-year investigation. Interestingly, the majority of these strange, puzzling lights were spotted in the Mare Crisium area, the very same area where O'Neill and H.P. Wilkins saw the gigantic 12-mile bridge in the 1950s. Dozens of astronomers witnessed these mystery lights, which appeared singly, in circular groups, triangular and straight formations, moving and varying in intensity as if they were under intelligent control. As few as 4 and as many as 28 were seen in the crater. This is Plato, and it's May 13, 1870. One observer notes that as one of these lights increased in intensity and brightness, another diminished. One after another, the lights would alternately shine and then fade out, as if responding, as one writer noted, to the touch of switches of some mysterious lunar operator of electric batteries and lights. Remarkably, the lights kept reappearing night after night. Until 1870, careful records were made of the number and formation of these mystery lights. It was hoped that in some time the message might be deciphered. Then, after almost 2,000 observations, these strange mystery lights no longer appeared. To this day, the signals and their meaning, if there was any, remain a total mystery. The moon burst forth in a rash of lights again in 1877. On the night of February 20th of that year, Monsieur Trouvelot, of the Meudon Observatory near Paris, spotted a light in the lunar crater Eudoxus, in the northwest quadrant of the moon, an area where many mysterious light signals have been received in the past century. The very next month, a British astronomer, C. Barrett, saw a bright light in the crater Proclus, which he insisted was not a reflection of the sun. In New York, on June 17, 1877, Professor Henry Harrison spotted a light which looked like a reflection from a moving mirror. Intriguingly, at the same time in England, Frank Dennett also saw a tiny point of light in the lunar crater Bessel. In the latter part of 1877, Dr. Klein reported in the French scientific journal L'Astronomie, quote, "I saw a luminous triangle on the floor of the lunar crater Plato. It may have not been reflected sunlight. However, on the same night of Klein's observation, similar mysterious shafts of light, which seemed to move in several directions towards the crater Plato, were sighted. Again, the other observers reported a triangle of light on the floor of the crater, even as Dr. Klein did from his observatory in Paris. Maxwell Cade, an astronomical observer, points out in his book Other Worlds Than Ours, "Star-like lights, which could not have been due to the sun's rays illuminating the tops of high mountains, have been the subject of many hundreds of observations. In fact, up to April 1871, no fewer than 1,600 observations had been made for the crater Plato alone. Nor were these lights always single, or in small irregular groups, for many of the reports refer to the geometrical arrangement. Were these attempts at signaling by the inhabitants of, or visitors to, the moon? Both of these notions are extremely improbable, to say the least, but no one really knows what they are." A mere glance at these reports of strange lights and their even stranger movements indicates they could hardly have been volcanic eruptions or meteors flashing against the hard lunar surface. But even more difficult to explain are the mystifying objects that have been reported moving across the face of that orb or very close to the lunar disk. In the Journal of the Franklin Institute, it was reported that on August 7, 1869, the same time as the rash of sightings studied by the British Astronomical Society, a Professor Swift of Mattoon, Illinois, observed several objects cross the face of the moon 20 minutes before a solar eclipse began its total phase. They seemed to move in one direction across its surface and in parallel lines as if they were in formation. In Paris, The Journal Le Monde reported that Professor Hines and Zentmeyer also spotted these objects. They too noted that they seemed to be moving in straight and parallel lines. In 1874, Monsieur Lamy, another French observer, was reported to have seen a great number of black objects cross the surface of the moon. In the same year, on April 24th, a Professor Schaferick, in what is now Czechoslovakia, reported, "I saw an object so peculiar in nature that I know not what to make of it. It was blinding white and slowly crossed the surface of the moon. It remained visible afterwards." Similarly, a Dutch astronomer, Muller, saw a dark round object slowly pass across the moon's disk in a horizontal direction. This was on April the 4th, 1892. Just 4 years later, in 1896, W. R. Brooks of the Smith Observatory in America saw an identical phenomenon. He described this object as being 1/30th of the moon's diameter. He noted that it took the object a mere 3 to 4 seconds to cross the moon's face. In 1899, another luminous object was spotted moving above the moon. It appeared to be close to the surface and moving across it. It was sighted by Dr. Warren E. Day, who reported it to the U.S. Weather Bureau at Prescott, Arizona. Strikingly, the same object was reported by a G. Scott of Tonto, Arizona. More than moving lights and objects have been spotted on or around the moon since the age of telescopes. Perhaps the most intriguing reports are those that pinpoint strange structures and changes that have taken place on the surface of the supposedly changeless world. Remember that the moon, without air and wind, is relatively without erosion. In 1843, Johann Schroeder recorded a 6-mile crater which he named Linney. Its depth was estimated by the scientists to be about 1,200 feet. This German astronomer made hundreds of maps of the moon over many years. As he recorded his observations, he saw this crater gradually disappear. Today, Linney is just a tiny, bright spot with little depth, a small pit surrounded by whitish deposits. Ironically, Linney was not the only thing poor Schroeder lost. Early in his career, Napoleon's armies raided his observatory and carried away his brass instruments, thinking they were made out of gold. More puzzling than Schroeder's sightings are the strange phenomena observed by the highly respected astronomer W. H. Pickering, the discoverer of the 9th satellite of Saturn, Phoebe. He observed certain peculiar dark areas which changed their position during each monthly cycle, and which he noted especially in the crater Eratosthenes. He knew that it was impossible for plants and trees and flowers to exist in the airless environment of the moon, and yet he risked his reputation when he boldly announced that he had come to the conclusion that the dark areas had to be some sort of vegetation. Pickering wrote, "It's perfectly obvious that terrestrial vegetation could not exist on the moon and probably not on Mars, but something does nevertheless exist on both of these bodies, which, while differing more or less from anything with which we are familiar, can be better described by the word vegetation than any other in the English language." Pickering also claimed that he saw traveling dark objects moving across the surface of the moon. Again, he wrote in a paper on this strange phenomenon, "In trying to find conclusive arguments for or against the existence of animal life upon the moon, I have necessarily studied not only the routes along which it appears to travel, but also the reasons for which it might be expected to travel." And so this conservative astronomer, despite the great risk to his scientific reputation, came to what he felt was an inescapable conclusion, that these traveling dark objects were none other than migrating swarms of insects or some other form of animal life. He claimed they covered 20 miles in 12 days. What did Pickering actually see? Well, no one knows for sure, but most contemporary scientists feel it was not animals nor any form of insect life. However, no one questions Pickering's integrity and competence. He did see something. What it was remains a mystery. There's no doubt that down through the years, credible observers have seen some incredible things on the moon. There's no doubt that something strange is still happening up there from time to time. Our government,
as recent as our NASA program, recognized this and supported Operation Moonblink, a program of volunteer observations done at a number of observatories throughout the United States. Operation Moonblink cited 10 strange phenomena, 3 of which were confirmed independently and separately by observers outside the program. But there's more. Volume 20 of the highly regarded Astronomical Register gives this report. Near the crater Burt is an object shaped like a sword, and a geometric object shaped like a cross.